Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, the O-Dog, will be back in a moment. He's in studio doing panel work tonight because got a lot of Canadians in action tonight, right? You got the Leafs and Habs. You got the Oilers and Canucks. You got Winnipeg playing in Southern California tonight.
Yep.
So a lot of Canadian content. And it's go time, right? Calgary around the corner, Ottawa around the corner. And before you know it, we'll be 10, 15, 20 games into a new season and trying to decipher what it means and where it's going. That's the beauty of it.
Well, I mean, for football, obviously that Monday morning / Tuesday morning is overreaction. What's overreaction in hockey? Is it the next day, one game, or is it like a series of games? Like what?
I think it is one game because of the buildup towards one game. You're never going to have anything like this again until you get to game one of the playoffs, right?
Right.
And the playoffs is a different beast, but it affords the ability to break down the only thing you know, right? And the only thing you've seen is the one game. So it's within reason. It, you know, in Tampa, they're not freaking out in Tampa today, nor should they. They've won two cups in a row. They're a great team. They had an off night last night. So be it. It happens.
Right.
But, yes, I think the reaction is going to be sharp, you know, in both markets. Like, Montreal's on edge, man. Like, they're on edge. They're dealing with some uncharted territory here. Shea Weber's not around. Carey Price is not around. You know, Philip Deneau has left. Like, it's a different team, right? Like, those are three – you look at the primary pieces that got them to a cup final. Those were the three, really. You know, and Price in particular, and Deneau was spectacular.
Yep.
So, what made it work and what got them to the promised land on such an incredible run, three of the main tentacles of that are not available to them tonight and will not be available for quite some time. Two of them gone, more than likely. Deneau in L.A., Weber probably not playing this year, and who knows when Carey Price comes back. So I think there's probably more anxiety in Montreal.
Right.
Where, you know, there's uncertainty in terms of what the team is and how good they're going to be. In Toronto, I think there's a belief that they're a good team. I think there should be a belief in that. But it's what have you learned from the past? Can you get over past demons? You know, it's a bit of a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's anxiety. Overreaction, you know, Bunting gets two. All of a sudden people think he's a 40-goal scorer. Like that type of stuff. Like is that, you know, it's only natural because
it
it's
happen,
right in front of you. It's right in front of your eyes.
Yep.
But I just, you know, the biggest thing in looking, like watching even last night's game, you know, Seattle was, it was uncharted territory. It was their first game. You know, Vegas has got a strong back end. You know, I still think there's going to be a regression there. But other people don't. But I look at Vegas as a team that's really good, really fast, really structured. You know, their power play was good. It'll just be interesting to see how quickly teams can work out the bugs. Because you forget that the first 10 games, usually in traditional 82-game seasons, the first 10 games are very sloppy, and it's usually very offensive. You know, team systems aren't real tight. It takes a little bit. Now, they had an extended preseason here. You know, some teams played 8, some teams played 6. But, you know, really, it's almost like let's get going here and see how it unfolds. So I got my eye on a couple different things, how it's reffed, you know, the consistency of stuff like that. But, you know, I just – it'd be nice to see how it unfolds. I'm not going to get worked up to either way if a team is great or a team stinks, like it's one night. But it'd be nice to see how, you know, if guys have good nights and poor nights, how it's going to unfold.
Well,
for the
there's nothing better than a hot start, right? Like for confidence and getting the ball rolling and, you know, especially if you're a team that is a little bit uncertain of who you are, what you have, where you're going. And I don't know if that applies to the teams here in Toronto tonight necessarily. I'm just speaking in general. Where you get the ball rolling, you know, Vegas in their inaugural season, perfect example of that. They just hit the ground running. They just smack people around. Next thing you know, you're 20 games in, you're like, I think they're for real.
Right.
You know, and that's the nature of the beast. And I think considering we're back to a conventional season, things change pretty rapidly in sports. Very rapidly in sports. There's always turnover. There's always surprise teams that make it, and there's surprise teams that don't. And we don't know what it's going to look like at the end of it, and that's the beauty of a blank canvas, right? You got to write it down, man. You got to paint your picture, and we'll see how it comes out. But there will be multiple teams that we still have – a view of kind of pre-COVID almost that are very different now. Maybe Vegas is that team, right? Maybe Tampa's that team. Like, even though they're top heavy, maybe that depth and the soul of the team is gone and they're just not going to have the same ride. And on the flip side, you could look at teams where the Rangers, for example, you know, bottomed out pre-COVID, still kind of bottomed out, were lurking last year, faded towards the stretch. Maybe they take a massive step this year, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're a team that ends up with 102 points and second in the division. You're like, okay, well, there you go. That's a change from where we were a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It happens every year.
My team is Florida. I think everyone focuses on Tampa, obviously, so they should, back-to-back cups. But I think Florida has quietly put together a hell of a team.
Health,
obviously, health is a big thing, and you got to get stops, certainly from their goaltenders. But I think Florida can make some noise if they get off to the right type of start. You know, that's and I'm not talking Joe Thornton infused into the organization.
No.
I'm talking,
like Sam Reinhart. You're talking
exactly.
Sam Bennett. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree
guys
with you,
like
right?
That. Yeah,
yeah, Verhaeghe and guy, like, can you carry it over and roll it over and continue to rock?
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. Mark Masters from the Rink a little bit later in the hour. Jerry's After Dark a little bit later in the hour. We got Canada Panama down at BMO Field. Leafs Habs tonight, and yet no baseball tonight because we got to wait until tomorrow night. Game 5 back in San Fran as we see who's going to punch the ticket to the Final Four. We know the Atlanta Braves are through, and we know it's going to be Boston and Houston on the American League side. And to look ahead to Game 5 tomorrow night, look ahead to the championship series. We're joined now by our TSN MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What's happening, Steve?
Oh, listen, I'm so glad that you called. I was wondering what I was going to do tonight, so thank you very much. I feel a little bit lost without a game tonight.
It is. I mean, that's the nature of the beast with baseball. Like, quite literally, the first time in, 6.5 months without a game, except for the All-Star break, I guess. But, like, it is going to be a weird feeling. And we look ahead to a Game 5 tomorrow night between the Giants and Dodgers, which I think is fitting. This is what it should be between these two teams. It's been back and forth. The Giants have had to grind when they've won, and the Dodgers have responded and responded in a big fashion like they did last night when they've won. How do you see it playing out tomorrow night?
Boy, I tell you what, I've underestimated the Giants all season long, and so I'm going to continue to do that and think that the Dodgers win. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I look at the Giants, and I just can't figure them out because, you know, what we've learned, and even the Blue Jays have told us, that the older players get, the more they start to decline. That's why they didn't sign Donaldson to the long-term extension and Batista to the extension that he wanted. It was because, you know, as numbers and trends and predictability indicate, the older you get, the more you decline. But the Giants had all these old guys that played well this year and actually had career years. Brandon Belt hit 29 home runs. He never hit 29 home runs before. Now he's got a broken hand and he's out, broken thumb. But, I mean, even Crawford at shortstop, I mean, he's not been very good over the last few years. And you know, he's always been one that can drive in some runs, but he's never hit for much of an average. He's never gotten on base all that much, and he certainly hasn't been a power threat. And he's done that this year. So they've played great. You know, they've moved the fences in a little bit there, which has helped them offensively. But even Buster Posey went opposite field into the water. I mean, a splash hit on a home run that from a right-handed hitter, the first ever. And so, you know, and in addition, they have a rookie ace. Their best pitcher's a rookie. And that's not supposed to happen that way. So they've done a lot of things this year that sort of go against, you know, the dogmas of baseball. So, you know, the Dodgers stars seem to be coming to life. Bellinger's bat seems to be starting to come around. Gavin Lux, the young second baseman center fielder, got on base 4 times. And everybody's hitting except for Justin Turner, and we know he's going to hit at some point. So I just think the Dodgers, with Urias on the mound, having seen Webb a number of times this year, are going to, you know, have the upper hand with it. They certainly have momentum going into the game. Scherzer could probably come out of the bullpen and get some outs. I suspect that Kevin Gausman probably comes out of the Giants' bullpen and gets some outs too, and maybe Alex Wood in addition to that. But I think it's all hands on deck, and other than Walker Buehler and DeSclafani, I think everybody else is probably available.
Well, and I think if you're one of these two teams, you got to be looking at what's waiting for you and thinking, you know, if we show up here, there's no reason we're not in the World Series in a week and a half. Like, how Atlanta continues to do this is beyond me. And maybe I'm not picking up on the lesson you just tried to teach yourself and continue to look past them and undervalue the ability for them to continue to overcome all this adversity, because Acuña's been out since July. Ozuna's not been available pretty much all year. Soroka's not been available all year. And all Atlanta does is roll. And, you know, it was a weak National League East by the end of it, but they won it and, you know, beat Milwaukee in four. So what do you make of the Braves, how they find themselves back in a championship series, and whether or not these teams, whether it's the Dodgers or Giants, are going to avoid looking past them and maybe thinking we've already punched a ticket to the World Series?
Yeah, Atlanta's a scary team. It's a bit of a trap where, you know, I think maybe the Giants and Dodgers both look at this as the league championship series, that if they win it, they're going to go to the World Series. But Atlanta is three deep with really good starting pitchers. Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and Ian Anderson are all legitimate guys that can shut down good lineups. They have some depth and some options in the bullpen. I don't love their closer, Will Smith, and I think he could cost them a game, which is why I tend not to want to pick them, because I figure sooner or later he's going to blow a game, and in a short series, you can't have your closer do that. But he did get three saves, and I think the big issue is Milwaukee can't hit. I mean, Christian Yelich is just a shell of what he was. He looks so weak and so frail physically. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Why is that? What happened to him?
Well, you know, he's got back issues. And for a baseball player, back problems can really, you know, it just feels like he has no quick twitch to anything that he does. And that's that ability to sort of fire from the legs and rotate your hips. And if you've got a bad back, you can't do it. And so I think that's it. You know, he said he's going to have to regroup and try to figure out what it is. But, he had 30 extra base hits this year. And in 2018 and 2019, he had like 77, 76 extra base hits. He had 30, 19 doubles and 9 home runs and 2 triples. That's it. Like, no exit velocity. And it's just, it's amazing, because they built their team investing so much in the one guy to figure that if he's as elite as he had been in the past, then everybody else would blend in with it. They'd have enough offense, but they didn't. And I think the thing that scares me for Atlanta is, you know, Jorge Soler tested positive for COVID yesterday. And what scares me is, you know, it's like when you have mice in your house. When you have one, there's probably a whole bunch of them. And what worries me is when one guy tests positive for COVID, how many others are going to test positive over the next few days, and will they have an outbreak heading into this series? So, you know, I think that's the thing that scares me for them. Freddie Freeman is the man. Their infield is amazing. Freeman, Albie, Swanson, and Riley are all really good. All of them had like 28, 29 or more home runs in the season. And Jock Peterson can run into one. Adam Duvall can run into one. Eddie Rosario can put it in play. And so, you know, they've got a lot of professional hitters on their team. And they're a good team. Now, I think that the likelihood is that both the Giants and Dodgers would beat them, but they better not look past them, because they're going to end up losing the series if they do.
Steve, what did you make of the Tony La Russa experiment in Chicago? I know he's such a respected baseball guy. He's been around for a long time, but he's got this look to him where I described it earlier as he looks like somebody's uncle that's ready to leave a barbecue all the time, and he's antsy and irritated, and he looks like he's got the blue shades on. I mean, is he the guy, or is his time over, or just what did you make of the whole experiment?
Yeah. So, you know, I do a lot of stuff in Chicago and around the Cubs and White Sox. And so I got a chance to watch a lot of that this year. His post-game press conferences, he seems really tired. He just seems really tired. But you know, I think he still is on top of his game. He still knows how to manage players. He still knows how to get the most out of them. They weren't the best team in that series. The Astros were. This, I think, could be that year, just like it was for the Blue Jays, where you have a year where you learn and you come up a little bit short, and you think next year is the year that you start to go. It could be the same thing for the White Sox. They've got a tremendous core of young position players. They weren't healthy for a good part of the season. They got big arms in the bullpen. They need to solidify the starting rotation, because I think they overworked them early, and they paid a price. You know, they thought, oh, we got a bunch of veterans, we can keep pitching them. And they wore down. And so I think that they're going to have to manage that better next year. But I think La Russa's into it. I think he's going to do it for another year, and I don't suspect that he's going to walk away from a team that really is a very good team and has a chance to go to the World Series.
Well, last night he was angry. He had no interest in reflection, and he was pissed about Abreu getting hit. And Dusty Baker played it off like, I don't know what you're looking at. You know, nothing
here. Yeah,
Dusty
didn't take the bait. I'm with you. I thought Tony La Russa, he went out there angry, and he was staring. I thought he was staring at Dusty in the other dugout, and Dusty didn't flinch. He just took a toothpick and moved it to the other side of his mouth and didn't engage in any way because there was no intent. You're not throwing at a guy in the seventh, the eighth inning of a ninth inning of a playoff game. I mean, there's a blowout. It's just not happening. And what was interesting is, listening to the broadcast, AJ Pierzynski said two outs, Altuve up, last inning. Are they going to go after him to sort of pay back? And instead, they throw him a fastball, and Liam Hendricks does, and he hits it out of the ballpark. So a lot of guys might have been bailing. He dug in and ripped it. And look, I think they made a mistake. Ryan Tepera calling them out, saying that he thinks they must still be cheating because of
Astros.
What they did in Houston. That was awful. I mean, it was idiotic to do that because all it ended up doing was motivating them, and it became bulletin board fodder.
Yeah, that without any real evidence, right? It was just
nothing.
They're crushing me and they're crushing us, so something's happening here. And like, he's feeding a beast that is out there still, right? Like, there are people that hate Houston that want to believe they're still cheating. And listen, they paid a price. I don't think they paid a premium. I don't think they got hit as hard as maybe they should have.
What should have happened? Lost the World Series ring?
Well, I think players should have been suspended, but I get why. Like, for the PA to be included, that was off the table and all that. But the players were cheating, right? Like, Cora got hit.
Yeah.
Managers, Hinch got hit. The players were the ones doing it. They didn't pay any price. So in a perfect world, they would have got suspended, and heavily, but it didn't happen. But this, I mean, there's no reason to believe outside of their history to even try to feed that
Actually,
beast.
What he knows is that, and I think Anna Wainwright did a good job of the broadcast talking about it, is that it's impossible right now to do it. With the Major League Baseball has people in the clubhouse during games. They have people in the video editing room during games. There's no access to those rooms during the game, and they've got, like, guards at the door. And so, like, there's no ability for a team to do what those teams did in the past. And it wasn't just that baseball said, we're going to really punish you if you do it again. They actually stationed people at the door to be able to watch to make sure it doesn't happen. And here's the thing. Did they cheat again when they scored 10 runs in Chicago yesterday? I mean, they were on the road. He said, well, on the road in the first game in game three, they didn't hit very well. But in game four, they put up 10 runs and were on the road. They weren't cheating. So they're not doing anything right now. They're a really good team. And the amazing part in all of it is, and we've seen this, the guys who end up cheating don't need to do it. Like, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they didn't need to do it. They were great without it. And the Astros are a really good offensive team, and they always have been. They didn't need to do anything to go above and beyond. But, people get greedy for the ring and for the trophy, and they think, we can get away with it. They're going to try to do it, but they were made to pay a price. And embarrassment part of it, but quite honestly, they're using it right now as motivation. It rallies them together the more that people attack them.
Pretty cool nugget from the game last night. I'm pretty fascinated with Altuve just because when you go and watch a game, and I saw him live, he's the smallest guy in the field. But that guy's fourth all-time in postseason homers. That is pretty incredible. Like, I don't know if the story's true, but apparently he showed up at training camp, Steve, and he said, I'm not going away. I want to prove to you guys I can play. And to see where that guy's at in his career, and I know he was at the face of he was in front of the cheating stuff too, but fourth all-time postseason homers, that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive. And the amazing part of it is, even like Carlos Correa said, the one guy who didn't do it, who didn't want to know what pitch was coming, was Altuve. That he didn't want to know. He didn't want anybody banging the garbage can. I remember playing and with a runner on second base, they'd always try to pick up the sign. And I remember hitting and a guy, thinking he's got the signs, and he flashed me, okay, here comes a breaking ball. And I sit on a breaking ball, and he was wrong, and a pitcher threw a fastball that about buzzed me at the head and took my head off. And it was from that point on, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to know, because when you're wrong, I'm at risk for that. Like, I don't want to know. Altuve did not want to know what pitches were coming. Other guys did, but not everybody wants to be able to do that. And so, you know, it's you know, he's taking the heat because he is a part, you know, he, Bregman, and Correa, right? It's Altuve, Bregman, and Correa are the three faces of that sign-stealing
scandal. Well, that's the thing, Steve. I think other people would show you video evidence of Altuve, some of those home runs I was just mentioning, and you'd say, like, come on, man, are you serious? So for him to say, I'm not looking for it, right?
Yeah. He hit 30 home runs again this year. The littlest man on the field hit 30 home runs again this year. He is phenomenal. He is so good and has such a great knack of hitting. And, you know, look, part of it is that, you know, he is a littler guy, and so he has a very short swing. You know, guys with long swings, you know, get in trouble where they have a hard time sometimes getting the bat head to the ball. He can wait, and because he has short arms, it's a short swing. It's just the nature of it, but it helps him in that regard. Dustin Pedroia was that way too. And so, you know, there are some benefits to being smaller in baseball where sometimes small guys can still be productive because of that fact.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Giants-Dodgers, Game 5, and whoever's through, we know who's going to be standing in the Final Four in the championship series on both sides. We'll break it down later in the week and look forward to the ALCS and the NLCS. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, Steve, and whatever you're up to tonight, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst. Yeah, Houston. Your Houston Astros are through.
Well, they don't cheat. That's the thing.
No, why would they? Never. There's no history of that.
I just find it difficult where it's like the comment, Altuve was the one guy who didn't want to know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry,
isn't that the case with Shoeless Joe Jackson as well? I believe with the White Sox, you know, when they threw the World Series, I think he wasn't involved, or that's what the investigation stated. Shoeless Jose Altuve, you know, he wanted nothing to do with it, except, you know, don't take my shirt off, and no, it was just a tattoo, and, you know, they're all implicated, they're all a part of it. And it's going to hang over.
Except for Springer, though.
Like when you see him
except for George
around,
Springer, that's yeah. right.
And nobody he talks want the about jersey Springer. Coming off. That was a goofy. Like there was something there. Like,
of course, he was wearing a wire. Might have been
something
wearing a wire.
On. Something like, was going on.
That's a Beansy situation. That's from The Sopranos. The guy didn't want his shirt coming off because he was wearing a wire. That's probably what he had on. But
well, you know. Listen. The fact of the matter is, you still got to hit the ball, and it's got to go out. And Altuve's done that a lot.
Yeah.
And the Houston Astros have done that a lot. Carlos Correa is another guy. I think he's top 10 in hits in playoff history or something like that. Like I saw a stat on him earlier this week. Like those guys, Bregman would be right there. Springer, if he stayed there, would have been a part of that program. And, you know, these guys just year after year after year, you go to the playoffs and you go deep, you're going to rack up a lot of numbers. That's what they've done. The Leafs are back home and in action tonight. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio. Leafs Habs will head down to Scotiabank and set the scene, get a vibe from in the building. Mark Masters is down there. Jerry's after dark later in the hour.
Mark
Overdrive
Masters.
Continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jerry's after dark in about 15 minutes. And continue to listen for your cue to call to win a pair of Leaf tickets to the game on October 22nd with San Jose in town. So we'll give you the cue to call at some point this hour. Mark Masters will join us here in a moment. Setting the scene from Scotiabank Arena. We haven't done this in a while. Fans will be in the stands. I don't think we're talking about a sellout, but I think you're still looking at 17 grand, give or take. And I saw that the 48th Highlander is down there. They got the bagpipes out and everything. And it's going to feel like an opening night, right? The players will get called out.
You saw the 38 tweets about that?
Shockingly, everyone jumped back on board. It's almost like they've been in the archives since 2019.
They're fired up to see people in the buildings. And, I mean, I can't imagine. I didn't go down there at all. None of us were in any part of the bubble.
No.
To be down there and see things normal. I actually am quite shocked that you're saying not quite as. I thought it would be, like, rafters, like, jam-packed. Like,
really?
People dying to get in. Yeah. I just thought this moment it would just be overflowing in there.
I think people are just apprehensive. It doesn't mean that they don't. You know, aren't excited, don't want to be there. It's just, there is, if you look at it, what Hayes, you think in what 16, 17? What's the capacity? Is it 19?
Yeah, I think it's roughly technically 18,900. But yeah, so there's more than that in there for sure. But
so let's say 17. Mm-hmm. You know, be generous or whatever. That sounds about right. 2,000 people that are maybe apprehensive that usually would go. I mean, maybe
I think the province kind of jammed them up a little bit here too, right? Like it's not right. If they made the announcement on July 1st, packed barn, it would be a packed house tonight. It was Friday night news dump. Like,
yeah, it was.
How many people probably woke up, you know, with
and
Thanksgiving?
Last Friday, right?
It was last Friday. It was 5 days ago. So how many people had weekend plans and then kind of snapped out of it, maybe didn't even realize that it would be a packed house or
agreed.
Tickets could be available. And, you know, you're talking about ticket prices. People have found a rhythm in terms of where they're at with their lives. And I don't think tonight is a precursor of what's going to happen the rest of the way.
Agreed.
I don't. I think you'll see sellouts, and I think the same thing will apply for the Raptors and it's just we're still easing into it. That's been the way yeah. we've been living here for the better part of 20 months, you know, easing into things and seeing how it plays out. But Mark Masters was down there for all the home games last year, and he was one of the lucky guys that had access to it. And even media was limited based on COVID protocols. But the media is back today, and the fans are back tonight. Let's head down to Scotiabank and set the scene. Here is our TSM Maple Leaf reporter, Mark Masters. How many people are currently in the building, Mark?
It's a sparse crowd right now, but they're filling in a little slowly and surely. I was talking to a member of the staff today, and he was a little concerned about, you know, getting everyone in. It's a little slower with some of the restrictions, but looks like people are filling in nicely, and we're just getting set for the Leafs to come out, and we're trying to see if Mitch Marner is there, because obviously you know, there's all sorts of questions about his status for tonight.
Well, that's it, right? I have to believe he's playing based on the fact that he skated this morning, and that seemed to be the indication I was picking up from.
There he is. He's coming out. He's getting set to go out for warm-up. So he's in his usual spot. He looks good. So I would have to think if he's warming up, he's going to play.
Well, listen, breaking news.
Everything is okay, Mark.
Breaking news. Mitch Marner, he's out there for the opening skate. He's out there for the pregame, which means he'll have his name called tonight, right? It'll be full bore in terms of the festivities before the game. The 48th Highlanders there, all the players will be called out along the blue line. I mean, what kind of atmosphere do you expect tonight, Mark?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, Jason Spezza's third season in Toronto, first home opener with fans. He was a scratch, no fans last year. Wayne Simmonds, his young child will be in the house. His wife, this means so much to them. The Leafs just taking the ice now to some cheers, obviously. And Jack Campbell, his first ever season opening start in the NHL. There's a lot of guys who this is going to mean a lot to, not just the fact that they have a full house for the first time since the pandemic began. John Tavares, we know what happened last year at the end of his season and how it ended. So there's a lot of guys who are going to enjoy, I'm sure, this moment.
Well, I'm looking forward to obviously getting a read on how the season's going to play out starting tonight. We were joking about overreaction Monday in the NFL and could it apply here, but they really can't allow it in the room because you're going right into Ottawa tomorrow night and then back home against Ottawa on Saturday, and Austin will not be available for those three games as it currently stands. What have you picked up in terms of the mood and the attitude of the team in terms of a hot start and how necessary it is considering the three games in four nights to start things off?
Yeah, adversity right out of the gate. No Matthews, 3-4 against teams that you think they should be banking points against. And, you know, Jake Muzzin said it today. They came into camp pissed off, angry. And now let's see if they take out some of that anger. They should be fired up to beat the team. Same building, same opponent where, you know, as last season ended. So I would imagine with the fans in the building tonight, full house, you'd expect them to set the tone, right? There's no better way to turn the page and get people thinking a little differently than to come out with an emphatic performance. Certainly won't be easy without Matthews, but they have the talent, they have the depth, and according to the head coach and to everyone who's spoken to us in the media, they've had the requisite training camp to get off to a good start.
That's got to be the motivation, isn't it, Mark? I mean, I'm sure they were sick of showing up and being asked the question about what happened with the Montreal Canadiens, but I know John Tavares said he showed up and everybody said he looks motivated, and that's just the goal, isn't it? Just to not deal with that nonsense again.
Exactly. That's their focus is just to, you know, Jack Campbell has said there's no better opponent for me to make my first season opening start against than the team that broke my heart last season. I mean, this is how you can really get off on the right foot. And it can go sideways in a hurry on the other hand, right? The Habs are playing the underdog card again. They've got the injury issues as well. A lot of people are already counting them out coming into this season. They feel pretty comfortable in that role. So let's see how the Leafs react to that. They should come out tonight, put the foot down with an emphatic performance. It's not always been easy, though, with this Leafs team. Sometimes they go against form. So it'll be really fascinating to see, because on opening night, weird things can happen. The season opener last year was a crazy game. Leafs came back from 4-2 down, 1-5-4 in overtime. So we'll see what happens tonight, but I'm expecting the Leafs to come out strong.
Mark, who are you, outside of just the usual suspects, anybody on the roster you're excited to kind of see what they bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Ritchie, top-line role. There's a lot of guys. I mean, Jack Campbell, for me, is going to be in the spotlight just because, you know, Mrazek's going to go tomorrow, and here we go. The goaltending's going to be a story all year. I'm ready to get the goalie controversy started. I'm sure the media, it won't take much. I've got my goalie controversy stories locked and loaded. And let's see what happens, because he's being doubted too. It was everything went great for him last year, but Mrazek's got the longer contract, the richer contract, the more pedigree, and we'll see what happens. So to me, he's one of the guys I'm looking at the most early this season. How is he going to come out? We keep asking him, you know, what changes have you made? He keeps saying, I've made changes, they're going to pay off, but he won't tell us. He's playing coy. So let's see what happens with Jack Campbell, and of course he's got to stay healthy, but he's the guy that's right in the spotlight for me to start this season.
Masters, what would you say if you showed up down at the rink and you saw Mark Rowe with a microphone and he was wheeling around, just sniffing around your usual positions?
I would say, is tennis not enough for you, man? I mean,
all right,
like,
buddy.
Come on, guy.
Yeah,
he's on his honeymoon now, I think.
Yeah, he didn't invite us to his wedding.
Did
he's
you go
of
to
our
his
loop.
Wedding, Masters? Did you go?
I got a snub.
Same
I got a
here.
Zoom link.
Same
we all
here.
Zoom link to watch.
He yeah. hates our guts. He hates our guts because
well,
he didn't.
Big time
he,
now.
He didn't invite anybody from like,
not
but everyone
show,
else
anyway.
At TSN went.
Yeah, well, we give him a big opportunity on this show, and it launched him all the way to the U.S. Open, and best friends with Lele Annie Fernandez and Bianca and Jeannie. And
yeah,
hey, it is what it is. He's a big shooter, so congrats on the wedding and the honeymoon. But it's your time to shine now, Masters.
That's it,
and
pal. It's your time now.
It's
have
your
a
time,
great
buddy.
Time, pal.
I'm gonna live it up, and I just want to say I know you're gonna be teasing it all week. The CJ story about Jonas. I tried to get it out of him today. He won't even tell me. I have no idea what he could be hinting at, to be honest. He's suggesting Jonas did me dirty. I can't recall one story where Jonas did that to me, other than obviously a couple of wrong answers in our trivia. But
I thought you hit rock bottom talking
Jonas
about Jack Campbell's cat.
Dirty.
But I mean, Jonas, there's got
story.
That was
something else has got to break. You've done your cat story for the year. Now you're done.
I imagine that got quite a few clicks on TSN.ca.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. It's trending. It's the number one trend.
It's trending.
Nerd alert.
We'll see what happens. All right, buddy. Well,
we love you, Mark.
Hard-hitting investigation on Monday when CJ hands over that story and the details. So enjoy it down there, Masters. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There's Mark Masters live from the Brunswick House at midnight on a Saturday night.
Who's the guy that takes the sip of the shot and then he turns into somebody?
Frank the Tank?
It sounded like Frank the Tank yelling at the party. He just was
Snoop-a-loop.
Having a time.
I love
Snoop-a-loop.
It.
Yeah, it was awesome. Well, because it's bumping down there, right? You got some life.
It's loud. Atmosphere,
it's loud.
Too. It's thing is, it's so hard. I find it tough when, if I'm doing color in a loud building, the microphone's so sensitive. You're not supposed to yell, but you just naturally want to yell because you want to hear yourself speak, right? And it's... Hey, he did a great job considering he's right in the mix right now. Like that's tough to do.
I've done phoners from down there, like when it's you can't hear anything. You're just yelling, and it was awesome to have Masters on, and he's having the time of his life down there. And
Sergio Dip.
Having the time of his life.
It's awesome to have Masters back.
Dude, have you seen Sergio Dip at all?
No. Well, he works for ESPN Deportes.
I know, but wouldn't you have think that he
would?
I think the producer said, like, I think they jammed them up is what happened. Yeah. And they're like, sorry, we're not going to do that to you again. You know, like, right.
Didn't see them the rest of that night. He didn't do coaches interview, like, halftime, nothing.
Nothing.
No. You know, in the cartoons, when somebody's struggling, there's that giant cane that pulls. He got yanked.
Yes,
he got pulled. Yep. Like, that was it. That's what happened to Sergio.
Yeah, the lights went out. Because that, I mean, that's a massive production. That's ESPN, Monday night, opening night of the season. Wasn't it Raiders Broncos, I think?
It was a big one.
We had him on. He was awesome.
He was great. We should have had him on last week, right? When Canada was down at Azteca taking on Mexico. Would have been great to have Sergio Dip on. But, yeah, he was a good interview, fun guy. He handled it really well.
Yeah.
And, obviously, we love Mark Masters, and we love Mark Rowe as well. Shout out to Mark and the nuptials.
Honeymoon.
And, honeymoon, doing his thing, man. I wonder if he'll sneak in some tennis analysis down there, wherever he happens to be. Masters in the building, 18,000 in the building tonight, give or take. And you get a chance to go to a game next week where Friday, October 22nd, the San Jose Sharks are in town taking on the Leafs. And we have been handing out clues all afternoon. Name that Leaf. Well, here's your cue to call, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. There's your cue to call. You call in, you name that Leaf, you're going to see the Leafs play the Sharks on October 22nd.
Mitch Marner taking part in warm-ups, flashing on overdrive.
Breaking news. We never get breaking news on
the show.
Joe
from the Bridge is dialed in right now.
Yeah. He is moonwalk. He's coming on. He's dancing into the room like James Brown.
Exactly.
So jacked up and so excited.
Fuzzy Dice hanging from the camera in there. He's so fired up right now.
So fired up.
He's
Mitch Marner
loving
back.
It. Good
Leafs
job, Joe from the Bridge.
Shout out to Joe from the Bridge. Absolutely. Yep. Leafs Habs right here on TSN 1050. And, we'll see what happens tonight. We'll hear from Jerry. We got Jerry's After Dark coming up. We'll tee up the game again and a bunch of games throughout the NHL. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do. Jerry's After Dark. Time now for one more
extremely horny hot take.
The Leafs start the season with at least 5 points in their first three games. Hayes says they better because the teams are playing are terrible.
Well, I don't think Ottawa is a great team. I'm not convinced Montreal is going to be a playoff team this year. So I think the Leafs will be favored in all three, even with a back-to-back tomorrow night. So Jerry's got them taking 5 of 6 to start.
I am going to start off this party, and I will go with 88% Eric Lindros, which is high probability zone.
Mm-hmm. That's up there. It's way up there. Way
62,
up there.
62%. Over 50, but... You know, two or three, I mean, back-to-back, 3 and 4 nights, regardless of your opponent, there's bound to be some adversity in there.
You know what, Ottawa, a couple things
they play
in years past,
tough,
they always play them tough, and early in the year, they always snag a win. Like, it feels that way anyway, and Montreal plays them tough. You know who always has great starts to either the season or a series is Josh Anderson. I bet you Anderson will be flying tonight.
Oh, yeah. He'll have 2 goals tonight, automatic.
Yeah, he did
we'll
game one of the playoffs, and he did game one of last season. Remember how good he was in both those games? So, I'll lean into the majority because I could see them taking all three. I really could. And I think this is where the tandem factors in. Mrazek tomorrow night is not as big of a drop-off, if any at all. Without Matthews, that factors in. But I'll say 89% Alex McGillney.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Alex McGillney in his prime. 89%. So, bit bullish on the Leafs on a hot start. The building is starting to fill up a little bit down there. We'll see what comes of it come puck drop and what the mood is like in the building. But it's great to see fans down there and fans down at BMO for a big match tonight with Canada and Panama. So, you got a lot cooking downtown.
Lots to watch tonight.
Lots of couching. Tonight's a big what are you eating type of night.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to get actually, I got those Pinty's wings that I always talk about. They are currently in the oven, and it is go time for puck drop.
Dude, wow, that's what I don't get. Like, you lost all that weight, and you still have your feedings. And,
yeah, I do. And I eat just, horribly still. Horribly.
How do you keep... Like, I honestly, if I just said that, I would, like, have 5 pounds on tomorrow. Well, I can't eat anything past 5 p.m.
Yeah. It's more about, like, I don't overconsume anymore. That's the bigger thing. Like, I'll take down some wings, and I love it, and I'll take down a bag of chips or whatever, but it's not like, dude, what are you doing at 9:30 in the morning? You're 2,500 right. cows deep already.
Thing is, is when you're talking a bag of chips, it's not like the big daddy,
well,
is
no,
it?
No, I don't eat a full bag of chips. Like, that's just...
Yeah, you do.
No, I
you're
do.
You're used to.
Oh,
used
to. Absolutely. I'd look at a bag of chips. Those, it was like a magic trick.
I know
trick.
Back when you
disappear.
Were a moose, you grabbed a bag of salt and Vins, and it was game over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a mud wrestling match.
Like, what are those big bags? Like,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Salt and Vins, Miss Vicky, goodbye, good night.
Like, not like Costco, single, massive.
No, but
bag.
Like a single dose, like not a
yeah,
single
of course.
Dose, like the
of course.
Like the extended like, version.
Yes, the extended, the middle ground, absolutely. Like yes. If you're hungry and you're taking that thing down over the course of a night, you can't eat a small bag. I mean, that's not going to cut it.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of chips, man. It's a
it
lot.
Is a lot
again,
of chips.
I haven't done that in a long, long time. It's about consumption rates, man. Trying to keep it together over here, but. Yeah, that's wow. what I'm getting after tonight.
I mean, those big bags, I could eat a whole big bag of popcorn.
See,
but
exactly.
That's popcorn.
But popcorn's salty, and, like, that's my thing. I love popcorn, too, but if I eat too much of it, man, I'm waking up in the middle of the night.
The veteran move if it gets too salty, which was my move gooning days, float right into the ice cream.
Well, just to balance it out, a little balancing act.
So salty then sweet.
Right. Oh yeah. As soon as the salt and Vins are too much, put the little Ziploc thing on it and go right in.
Yeah.
To the Häagen-Dazs.
There is a balance, man. I like because coming out of Thanksgiving, I get so much. I get a strawberry rhubarb pie upstairs that is staring at me. That is probably going to get introduced tonight. Some point
really?
The
dude
yeah.
if you don't do vanilla ice with it you're not doing the right game.
Yeah, you're right. It's necessary, but strawberry rhubarb pie, I love a rhubarb pie. Love strawberry rhubarb.
I'm not a rhubarb guy.
No, that's your own problem. That's not my issue.
Is it a, what is rhubarb?
Tonight.
Is it a vegetable or is it a fruit?
Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah, that's the whole point. I don't know what a rhubarb is. What the hell's a rhubarb?
It's like celery. It's kind of
yeah. It's
in that
it
celery
is.
Family,
it's
correct?
Yeah, it is. It's like it's way too big. It's unnecessary, yet it works. You know, you mix it with a strawberry or a raspberry, blue. It doesn't matter, man. You mix some rhubarb into a pie. It's perfect.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been my thing. I've never enjoyed rhubarb.
No,
that's the thing. Like
pretty cut and dry. I mean, you're either a rhubarb fan or you're not.
You're in or you're out.
No one's on the fence with rhubarb.
No,
but it is a spectacular delicacy. Spectacular.
And well, either way, you got a couch. You've got great entertainment coming up, and it's going to be. I think it'll be.
A long
you know, I'm fired about. I'm fired up about
so
it.
Am
like
I'm
I know there's only.
It.
I mean, there's 82 games, but you know, it's nice to just kind of get it for real now. You know, like this preseason went for 2 months. It felt like
right.
Like,
exactly.
Let's get going here.
Well, and that's it. And listen, we talked all about the playoffs, and we know what happened. I mean, that's part of their history. It's in the history books now. So Wikipedia, find it. The Leafs choked away a 3-1 series. And yet now that we're here, this happens every year. There's excitement for the games. You know, like enjoy the ride, I guess is what I'm saying. Enjoy the ride. I plan on doing that. I think Leaf fans will. Yes, your eye is always going to be on the ball in terms of where it's going in the spring, and you got to punch your ticket first. But there's going to be a ton of really cool games and moments and storylines, and they got a good team. You know, regardless of what you did for us lately, we know what happened. They still got a talented, quality team, and they've got a mission in front of them. We'll see if they can achieve it. And it starts tonight. The game is coming up in a matter of moments right here on TSN 1050. Joe Bowen, Jimmy Ralph coming up on TSN Radio, and can't wait for it. We are out of here. Let's see if we can get this right. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
Holy Mackinac, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.